Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Half a day and welcome to the World in Sport. I'm Vinnie Wiley. This week,
Tyrone May has used the foot to kick the ball out of the possession of Justin Ollam.
A special week for Papua New Guinea's newest National Rugby League champion. A Pacific link to England rugby's next number 10. And Samoa and Tonga step up preparations for their Women's Rugby World Cup playoff. But first, Papua New Guinea rugby league star Justin Ollam has capped a year to remember, scoring a try in the Melbourne Storm's NRL Grand Final win over Penrith. The 26-year-old Kumuls international established himself as a starting centre this season under legendary coach Craig Bellamy and was recognised this week as the club's most improved player of the year. But it wasn't always easy for the Highlands-born star. Fellow PNG and Storm legend Marcus Bayer says Justin Ollam has overcome a lot after a difficult introduction to life in Australia.
For the first 2 years, he's never made it up to NRL, and there was a big worry for myself and other ex-Kumul players, Johnny Wilson, Mark Mom, Michael Marum, obviously the coach of the Hunters last year, and the PNG Kumuls. We were worried that, you know, a lot of discussion about changing our attitudes from the Hunters into the Kumuls so that it we build a pathway for these young boys to, when they come to NRL or Intra Super Cup, they've got a different approach to their living of the Western style living. Obviously, young New Zealanders and Samoan and Tongans and Fijian living in Australia, that is not a worry for them. For us, it's a massive worry because the rugby league played in Papua New Guinea is a lot of our local boys. Most of them doesn't know about, doesn't speak English well. Similar to me, finished grade 10 and went away and didn't finish grade 11 and 12, wasn't good enough to do that. And then when you play this game, and it's not about just playing the game and training, it's about, you know, the respect, which we were taught, obviously everyone and every young kid are taught. I was just lucky that my old man and my mom, you know, really taught us well in terms of the discipline side. We were always disciplined, the 10 of us in the family. But to see Justin come from the village, similarities to what I have done 21 years ago, honestly, I never thought I'll see another Papua New Guinea. I always wish that 10 years ago, that or 16 years ago, that one of our boys will come up and make it in a big time. And when Justin had a chance in 2016, he came back and asked us, I've got Canberra and Melbourne Storm wanting my signature. Where do I go? And I stepped in and I said to him, I said, listen, mate, you are not going to Canberra because late Kato Otio was there. And I said, I don't like to see two Papua New Guineans in one club because it's never been a good news. You guys will be drinking and enjoying yourself. You won't concentrate on the game. And a lot of other coaches support me, Michael Marum, Johnny Wilshere, David Wesley. And he said, yeah, I said, I think we all think that you should go to Melbourne and learn a lot from the Melbourne structures. I said, you will love it. You will love it there because there's a lot of Kiwi boys there, Samoan, and as well Cameron. We know Cameron. I know. I said to him, I know Cameron very well. You're going to learn a lot from him. And as well, Billy Slater still playing. So we sort of help him out there. Bob Cutmore was the CEO of PNG RFL that time and help him a lot in terms of giving the direction to go. And I think for the first 2 years, we were all disappointed that, you know, he's been playing well with Inter Super Cup, but then wasn't making up or making his way up to National Rugby League until last year when they gave him a chance. And we were so excited, but we are more excited now that obviously he's now in first grade for the full season, and and now playing in a grand final, which is very exciting for us as a nation and very exciting for me. You know, I dreamt of, you know, always think that there will be someone else from Papua New Guinea, either kids who are living here. You know, Alex Johnson done it in 2014 or 15, and hopefully, you know, several more to come. You know, something that honestly, it's a talking point in Papua New Guinea after Friday night. So, you know,
does this make it easier, Marcus? You've talked about, you know, you wondered if it would ever happen again after you, and now we've got Justin, who's had to overcome adversity and a slow start to establish himself in that Storm team. So for all the other players and the Digicel Kapa and the age grads coming through in Papua New Guinea now, even if they're still at school a bit younger, and they're looking up and seeing him in an NRL grand final, you know, playing professionally in the NRL as a significant player, does it make it easier when they see that it can be done through him, thinking we can do that
yes,
too?
Absolutely. Look, it's now easier for how Justin came up is through the Hunters, and obviously the PNG Rugby Football League and in partnership with the PNG government have now built that. 6 years ago, they built that bridge with Mal Meninga and Adrian Lem, helping that cause to be able to bring Hunters into the Intra Super Cup. Now that's where Justin came from in terms of Digicel Cup, and from Digicel Cup used to be from Digicel Cup straight up to PNG Kumuls, which is they haven't gotten that experience to be able to play with the PNG Kumul side. And when we compete in the international level, we don't meet the likes of New Zealand, the Kiwis and the Australian. And obviously we can see it now from Tonga. Most of their players are played in NRL and Super League. So it's a similarity. It's easier now that the young girls and boys can now see, and especially the young boys now can see that if Justin Olam can come from the village, played in the local football club, and then go to Digicel Cup and play well, and then been selected for the Hunters, and then as soon as he plays for Hunters, he's got every chance now for NRL club scouts to be able to pick them up from there. The bridge is now built for them, and Justin is the new era that now that he's going to go back to the country and say, hey, the bridge has already been built. If I can do it, every one of you can do it. It is a much easier way for our young boys and young girls to be able to make it that far.
That's Papua New Guinea rugby league legend Marcus Bai. Former Manu Samoa fullback Mike Umanga is resigned to watching his son's test rugby debut from the couch. The Wasps fly half Jacob Umanga has been added to England's squad for this weekend's Six Nations decider in Italy and next month's Autumn Nations Cup. The 22-year-old, who is the nephew of former All Black Tana Umanga, has impressed head coach Eddie Jones, and his father Mike, who played 13 tests for Manu Samoa in the 1990s, says his son is up for the challenge.
Yeah, we're really buzzing for him, so proud of him, of what he's done to up until this point. I think, you know, kind of use those opportunities to blood players, and then he's gone on and had a pretty good season with the Wasp club, and you know, I think he feels a bit more in the squad on merit this time round, and so yeah, fingers crossed he's in that squad.
Yeah, over here in New Zealand we've had a similar thing in terms of Caleb Clark sort of taking the country by storm, and you know, a lovable guy, and Adoni, just the pride that he has to see his son sort of follow in his footsteps. I know you, of course, played for Samoa, but you know, what have your interactions been with like with Jacob?
Well, literally spoke to him the day of the final. You know, just going through those kind of emotions, and you know, he's pretty laid back. You know, they've done a lot of hard work to get to the final. Then you know, we spoke after the final, and yeah, he was a little bit dejected, but you know, it was a tough old day. As they say, you've got to experience it. You know, it was his first final. Hopefully, you know, he gets a chance to have another shot at that. But then on the back of that, it's been pretty quick. You know, literally a day after that, you know, we're on the phone again talking about going into a different environment. So,
and
a little bit anxious, a little bit excited, you know, but no, he's, you know, I think he's up for the challenge.
With the whole COVID situation, are you going to be able to go and watch him in person, or will you have to sit in front of the TV?
Well, that's the thing. You know, in a way, it's kind of bittersweet because we won't be able to. We didn't get to see his first final, We probably won't get to see his first international cap if he plays. Tough one in that respect, but it is what it is. You know, that's become the norm now. Just rugby's on, get in front of the TV.
And for someone like Jacob, who's grown up around, you know, Test rugby and well-known rugby people like yourself, playing for Samoa, of course, your brother playing for the All Blacks, the likes of Jerry Collins.
Yeah.
And you talked about him being quite a laid-back character. Is that just his personality? Is that something that's rubbed off from you? Or, you know, when you're used to, because he's familiar with that sort of environment, does that sort of help him take things as they come sort of thing and keep grounded? Or is that just a family thing? Or?
Yeah, it's sure to have an effect, you know, because to a lot of people, you know, those kind of environments you can only dream about. But, you know, when he was young, you know, both our older kids were in and around All Black tours when they're over here with their uncle, and you know, seeing what that was like. Obviously, they were in and around the rugby teams I was involved in, and Jacob's first tour was with the Mani Samoa team. So when he was just a little baby in a pram, and you know, he remembers getting wheeled around by Trevor Leota and all those boys. So it kind of becomes second nature, but it does help with, you know, just being familiar with those kind of surroundings.
You know, you played against your brother in 99. He might end up lining up against his cousin, Peter Umaga Jensen, who had a pretty decent All Blacks debut.
Yeah, this last week has been pretty hectic. Our family Facebook has been going crazy, you know, obviously with Peter getting the nod as well. Like I said, just the final and this call-up, you know, the family have been sending me messages of well wishes and stuff like that. And Pete actually sent him a message before his final, so that would be exciting. And I pray to God that COVID is no longer around us and we can all get together. It'd be a great hell of a catch-up.
And, you know, obviously your involvement with Pacific Rugby Players Welfare as well, from that Pacific angle, of course you're thrilled to see your son hopefully playing some Test footy for England in the coming weeks, but Fiji to be involved in that Autumn Nations Cup as well. So that's, a team that's been crying out for, had some real success in recent years, been crying out for that top-level competition, and this is a pretty exciting month for them.
You know, it's great to have more of a particular influence in there as well. And it needs, I think, the more the merrier, really. There needs to be more avenues where we can get our Pacific teams out and on that big stage. Obviously, you know, there's issues that need to be sorted out, but no coincidence that, you know, a lot of the top performers in both the UK and France, you know, even over in America and with the MLR, you know, there's a strong Pacific Island influence, you know, so just making sure that, you know, when they go back to their, you know, home nation teams, that they, you know, that continues on. And, you know, that's what we all hope and pray for, really.
That's former Manu Samoa fullback Mike Umanga. International women's rugby is close to resumption in the Southern Hemisphere, with Samoa and Tonga ramping up preparations ahead of next month's World Cup Repechage qualifier in Auckland. The game was originally scheduled to take place in Apia in April, but was postponed due to COVID-19. The game will now be staged in Auckland on November the 14th, with the winner advancing to the final World Cup Repechage tournament in 2021. RNZ Pacific sports reporter Tala Anderson has been in touch with both camps and told me how their preparations are going.
The Samoa women's rugby team, they had a three-day trial camp over the weekend, just getting ready for their match against Tonga next month. So, the Samoa assistant coach Cynthia Ta'ala Timaloa said that the camp has helped build team camaraderie because they haven't had any time together with the restrictions in New Zealand particularly. So, yeah, she said it was really good to have everyone come together to be in that Samoan environment and just, you know, get some fitness under their belt as they lead into that qualifier.
And that camp, that included a game?
Yeah, so they had a trial match against Taranaki, but I understand that the Taranaki didn't have a full squad, so they did have an opportunity to test some of the Samoan side against each other. But yeah, it sounds like it was really successful. She said that they got what they wanted out of that camp, and they're kind of just looking forward to seeing who's going to be named in that final squad, because she did say that it's causing them some headaches.
And that's a good position to be in, I guess. And, you know, one of the quirks of this match against Tonga next month is that It's only going to be New Zealand-based players, isn't it, because of COVID restrictions. So fortunately for both Samoa and Tonga, they've got strong, groups of players in New Zealand. The bulk of the Samoan players and coaching staff are already here anyway. So if they still have to have some tough decisions around selection, that's probably a positive.
Yeah, I know Samoa were saying that they didn't have any issues. It was unfortunate that they couldn't have their players come from Samoa and Australia. But I know for Tonga, I think it's a little bit different where, they were really gutted as well about the players from Australia and Tonga not coming, especially those involved in the coaching scene. So I think they've struggled a little bit more in terms of numbers, but they've had no issues kind of just sending the message out that they want to get some more girls included into that
squad. And so for their preparation, we're not sure if they've had any headouts, but they have had a couple of get-togethers?
Yeah, so they put a call out to girls that were interested in representing Tonga for this match. And I believe they had a few, some trial trainings at the Papatoetoe Rugby Club. So that was a couple of weeks ago now. So I'm not sure what they've got going on at the moment, but we'll find out soon.
Indeed, and that game's 2.5 weeks away, but it's not just the Tonga-Samoa game. There's a couple of other games as well.
Yes, so the New Zealand Defence are taking on the Police, and we also have the Black Ferns playing the Barbers. So it'll be a triple header on the day, lots of action, and you know, one of the first women's international kind of games to get underway in New Zealand.
Yeah, I guess it's all starting to ramp up a bit because I think the Black Ferns are playing 3 games in total, because their schedule leading into next year's World Cup, of course, was kind of ruined by COVID, as it was for most people around the world. I think the Women's Six Nations just kicked off on the weekend, or resumed over in Europe as well. So, but in terms of Samoa and Tonga, so what happens this game in a couple of weeks? Whoever wins, where do they go from there?
Yeah, so this is a qualifying match. So whoever wins out of this game will go to the qualifying tournament next year. There's a date still to be confirmed for that.
I was speaking there with RNZ Pacific sports reporter Tyler Anderson. And that's the world in sport for this week. For more, head to our website, rnzi.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.